This is Mark, and welcome to another edition of the Candleshore podcast. You know, as a low vision person, having access to mainstream media information has always been a challenge. I think for me, when I discovered talk radio, you know, in Kentucky, I was from a small town in western Kentucky. And yes, we have AM, FM, but we didn't have a news, you know, all news all the time type of radio station. And so when I finally moved to a city that had that, you know, 24-hour news, I'm sure I lived in cities that had it before, but I wasn't really searching for it, nor was I aware that it existed. Until I got, I guess it would have been in San Diego. I can't remember the name of the station now. But eventually I moved to Los Angeles, or should I say Los Angeles County, and of course discovered KFWB News, was it 980? And of course KNX 1070. And I remember the feeling that, wow, you know, there's actually a news station. Of course, by this time, you know, CNN had been on the air for quite a while. But, you know, you can't take a television with you everywhere you go. And I remember when I used to get ready for work, it was neat to kind of a neat thing to turn the radio on and get updated. I think 980 used to say, you know, you give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the world or something like that. And then again, moving on from that, I remember when I got my first CCTV, closed circuit television. And I thought, wow, that's kind of neat too. I mean, now, you know, I didn't have to go to my neighbors to ask to have them read my mail. And I used to be able to, and still can, look at newspapers. The print, for me, I need the magnification so large that it's not practical to read, you know, a story in the newspaper. But when I was back looking for work, I could certainly read the classifieds and take the numbers down. Still can. And again, access to information, felt completely empowered. And then we're going to, and of course I'm an avid Braille reader and an advocate of Braille. I apologize for my voice today. I'm a little bit sore. Avid Braille reader. Love refreshable Braille devices. I've had a few over the years and planning on getting another one in the near future. But my point is this. Through the years, and I'm thinking back even to the old days of the Opticon. I know some of you are going to go, an Opti what? But an Opticon was a tactile representation of printed letters. And basically you put your finger, index finger, on a small, I guess a rectangular piece of metal, and there were little bitty, tiny little pins that would come up and vibrate that would represent the shape of the letter. And so you'd put your one hand, I guess generally the right index finger, I guess you could, if you were left, you could use your left finger on this plate, this metal plate, and then you'd have a camera in your other hand, and you would scan across the page. I was a very good Opticon user. Again, all this is, you know, trying to gain access to information in the most convenient and independent means possible. And then, of course, my personal passion of smartphones. I have been involved in computers for many, many, many years, over 25 years now. It's hard to believe, actually longer than 25 years. And I was never particularly enthusiastic about any aspect of computing until I discovered Code Factory's Mobile Speak, which allowed me to have access to smartphones. And that opened up an entire vista of hitherto unimagined possibilities. And still, there were limitations. One of my primary agendas has been to try to level the playing field as much as possible between sighted and non-sighted people in terms of giving us, meaning low vision people, access to information on the go, which I think the smartphone together with Code Factory opened for us, right? I mean, it's just amazing. All of a sudden we could, even though rudimentary at first, had access to PDAs, and the mobile web, mobile websites, SMS. We look at this, I think back to generations before me, they would think what we have today is just magical. So companies like Code Factory opened the door to providing digital information on the go to blind and low vision people. And if there are other companies out there that I'm not aware of that were ahead of the game, then I apologize. I'm just not aware of it. But for me, it started with Code Factory. And then this little known company called Amazon came up with a Kindle reader. As I know, I personally, when we found out that it would allow synthesized speech, I was enthusiastic about getting one because it would allow me for the first time to have access to mainstream books. Clearly, we're all aware of audiobooks, and you can certainly, using a desktop PC, find some books that are accessible with a screen reader. But again, you have to carry your computer with you. When Kindle withdrew the ability for the books to be read via the built-in synthesizer, you know, people who want this stuff, you can still get it. You could even wait for it to come out in Braille or on talking books or whatever. But I know I was very disappointed with the Kindle. I thought that would be a great playing field for us to, as blind people, to have access on the go, you know. Then again, the Kindle's kind of big anyway, but still. I think the thing I liked about it was, even though you have wonderful resources like the NFB, I absolutely admire, and they have enhanced the quality of my life beyond measure. Certainly with their newsline. I love getting the newspapers. Still, you know, it's in a different format, even though it's a convenient one, and it's coming through on email, and you have to, save the files. Again, not a criticism. And of course, we have access to newspapers on the phone. So I think Amazon really dropped the ball when they caved into the, I guess, was it the Writers Guild? I can't remember. So that was a letdown. Then comes the iPhone 3GS with VoiceOver, and more doors were being opened. In fact, it's amazing. The iPhone with the app, together with the App Store, was able to level the playing field in less than 6 months than, you know, my 500 and some odd articles and other people's articles with regard to the old style, what we now call feature phones, or the original smartphones were able to do with all the mobile-friendly websites. Magic. Just magic, right? Calculators. Street finders. For me to even try to list the kind of things blind and low vision people have access to with regard to the iPhone would just be futile at this point, right? Trust me. For those of you who don't have an iPhone, just keep listening. So the 3GS opened up another level of access, mainstream access. And through all this, we, as low vision blind people, still didn't have access to the books. And I'm leaving magazines and newspapers out at this point. I'm talking about just books. And then iOS 4 hits the street. And for the first time now, we can bring on the iPhone. We have Braille support, refreshable Braille support. Well, I guess it's the same thing, Braille support, whatever. On an iPhone. Magic. Not revolutionary. Code Factory has been enabling, and I'm sure other companies, I think Talks and all the rest of them for the Symbian phones have been enabling Braille support for a long time. But of course, Windows Mobile and Talks, meaning Symbian, I'm sorry, Windows Mobile and Symbian, didn't have the platform, they didn't have the basis of the App Store, right? Not revolutionary, but what's the word? Evolutionary? Is that how they say it? And that's kind of neat. Very, very nice, because now you can take notes with the iPhone. And, so big deal, people say, big deal. I can do that on my Windows Mobile. I can do it on my Symbian. Absolutely. I give you that. And by the way, one of the biggest disappointments on the iPhone 3GS was the Kindle app. Yet again, when it was first released, if memory serves, you could read books, download books. And then, again, Amazon took it away. Absolutely repulsive behavior by that company. Try to imagine a world in which, and I know those of you who are savvy about global events know that there are countries where certain people aren't allowed to learn to read, okay? Or certainly where women aren't allowed to read. And even though, of course, I'm stretching this to a point, but I don't understand how you can have a company, a major company like Amazon, cave into people and say, well, we're not going to give the same access to blind people that everybody else has access to because we're afraid that the synthesizer may cut into our sales of audiobooks. Whatever. I could go on to that for days. I'm not going to. Let me stop. I just get mad thinking about it, all right? And yet, you know, it's funny because mainstream America really didn't give a right? Let's be honest. I guarantee you, if you could do this, if there was a company that said, you know what? We are not going to let women read these books. Or we're not going to let people from Arizona, now better yet, California, given that they're a bunch of fruits and nuts, read these books. Or we're not going to let illegal aliens, people who are not citizens in the United States, have access to Amazon books. Don't you think every organization that you can think of would be up in arms? So why in the then does no one get up in arms except for blind people about the fact that Amazon, with its Kindle app and its Kindle device, I didn't hear any outrage in the mainstream media. Absolutely amazing. Oh, God help me. All right. But I digress. And then this little, even smaller company than Amazon called Apple comes up with something called an iBook store. And for whatever reason, and whatever that reason is, thank God they found it. They didn't cave in to the book publishers. And they said, we are not going to discriminate against an entire class of people who pay the same amount of money as anybody else does for applications and books and software and phones and cell service and computers and accessories and rent and food. We're not going to exclude those people from having access to mainstream books. Man, you know, no one, it's not a stretch for to say, again, I know the history of Apple more than many. So it's not a stretch for me to say, those of you know, I have not exactly been an Apple cheerleader, which is why it's important for me to get on here and say, hey, I've got to take my proverbial hat off and shoes and shirt to Apple for standing up and saying they're not going to discriminate against us. And I'll tell you that I'm stating it right here and now, that regardless of the past, this accessibility that we now enjoy makes up for any issues I may have had with the company in the past, many of which are since long since forgotten, period. And so I get a lot of emails from people saying, well, you know, Apple this and Apple is arrogant. Apple is whatever Apple is. It does not discriminate against an entire class of its customers. And let me tell you something. That weighs a whole lot in this Kentucky boy's opinion. Does this mean I'm not going to continue to criticize every chance I get? No, of course not. But what it does mean is I am not going to stand by, and it's certainly not on my watch. It's not going to happen on my watch that people are going to sit there and dog Apple. When I look at companies like Google, Amazon, Google and Amazon don't are not, you know what I'm saying, other companies, my beloved Microsoft, who are, again, I'm going to say seemingly, because we don't really know what goes on behind closed doors, seemingly have no problem leaving us out of the loop. And what's funny, I started out telling you about my personal history with accessibility in terms of mainstream information. It's funny because, you know, great changes come with a whisper, really. For those of you old timers out there, you'll remember or you'll know back in the 60s about the civil rights, you know, movement and how vocal the public was about everybody having equal rights or, well, seemingly equal rights in the United States. It's funny that no one, it cracks me up, you know, for the first time ever, in as far as I'm aware, in the history of the, I'll say, visually impaired society, really. I hate to say communities. Community implies something, a real close-knit thing, you know? And whenever, it's really more of a society, right? Where we have access to mainstream books, just like our sighted counterparts. And yet, you know, it would seem to me, I'm always amazed, it would seem to me that you'd see on the evening news, guess what? I mean, and for those of you who think, well, you know, blind people only 1% of 1% of 1%, I really don't care. Because if you look at a lot of these in the United States I'm talking about now, special interest groups, they're 1% of 1% of 1% of 1% to infinity. And yet they get recognition for this. I'm just amazed when they make a breakthrough. So we need, you know, this is a, I sound angry, but it's a wonderful thing that we have access to. This is not going to be a diatribe, but I guess it's changed. My point is, I will now say I'm an Apple fan. Okay, let's make it official. Okay, Mark Taylor is a fan of Apple. That doesn't mean a blind fan. Oh, you know what I mean. I mean, not everything they're going to do on one thing is great. But I got to tell you, let's talk about what happened last night. In less than 15 minutes on my iPhone, I opened up the iBook store and purchased for the first time in my life a Star Trek book. I love Star Trek. And was able to read it. I read a few chapters of that. And then, and this is what really got me, I thought, wow, you know, let's see what other books are on the iBook store that are free. Because I paid for the Star Trek. And I started searching the free section. And I was, of course, there's I guess they call them e-books or EPUB books or something. And I found one of my favorite authors of all time, of course, Edgar Allan Poe. And one of my favorite stories is The Fall of the House of Usher. If you haven't read it, go to the iBook store and read it. It's only 168 pages. I couldn't sleep last night. I couldn't sleep at all last night. I was kidding. Okay, sorry. Download the book for free, which makes it even better, and enjoyed The Fall of the House of Usher. Hadn't read it since, I guess the last time I read it, well, the first time I read it, of course, was in high school, I guess. And maybe I read it once since then. So it's been at least 20-some-odd years since I read the book. And it was absolutely marvelous. Again, great moments, significant moments, come with a whisper. No great fanfare. And we have to thank Apple for this. They have, you know, Apple's always raving the bar on many, many things about technology. But this one is big. This one is one that's, this is really big. And I want everybody to please acknowledge it. It is time to make a joyful noise. It was nice to visit the House of Usher one more time. And I have Apple to thank for it. So thank you. So let's make a joyful noise. Thank you all. Thank you, Apple. I'll see you again here soon. Take care. Bye-bye.